Well, good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to everybody on this chilly Sunday morning. You join with me in prayer. God, we welcome you here. We ask that you'd open our hearts just to all that you have for us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear of your wonderful, incredible love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first reading is from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be prey for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. And the second reading is Luke 17, 11 to 19, page 852 in the Pew Bibles. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Because you are our rock and our redeemer, and we love you and need you, Lord. Amen. Well, the last few weeks, last times I've been filling in here, I guess, I've been talking about some relational skills. And one that we've talked about is actually called Skill Zero. It's not because it's no good, it's because it's foundational. Actually, I think it's because they came up with 19 important skills, and then they realized, oh, this keeping our relational circuits open is foundational to everything. And one of the interesting things that I heard, I remember Jim Wilder saying is that, you know, these relational circuits that we have with one another, don't you suppose that those same circuits would be the ones that we use for our relationship with God? And that made a lot of sense to me. It's those things that keep our relationship open with God actually keep us in relationship with one another. Now, in this first one, there's the, I like that cake analogy or anagram, way to get our circuits open, or we can find out whether they're on or off or not, was, am I curious? Can I be curious about the other person's, what the other person might be thinking? Appreciation. That's what we're going to talk a little bit more about today. K is for kindness. Can I say kind things right now, or am I thinking kind thoughts? And the eyes, am I looking them kindly or giving them the evil eye, right? We've all been the reception of that, haven't we? So that's the foundational thing. But then joy is the next one. And we talked about how this really cool thing, you know, Psalm 16, it's not the joy in God's presence. There's joy in God's face as he's thinking about us. To know that God is smiling on us as we're worshiping here this morning, that he's happy to be with us. And that joy is a relational thing. It's not necessarily that everything is going well. It's that I'm not alone in whatever maybe strong emotion I'm feeling, that God is present with me, and maybe somebody else is happy to be with me, even in the middle of my grief, can bring joy, even in the middle of my pain. Skill two, we talked about last Sunday, and that's the ability to quiet ourselves. In the middle of, again, strong emotions, am I able to quiet myself and get relational again? And Jim Wilder tells about, he said sometimes him and his wife, I mean, here's a clinical psychologist and a pastor, and he and his wife sometimes have words. And he said sometimes I've got to go off, and I've got a list of things I really like about my wife, and sometimes I have to go and read that list. And that's a way of quieting yourself. That appreciation is a way of doing that. And so this morning, if you have a Bible, or if you want to open up in Luke 17, we're going to talk about this appreciation. And we have a beautiful passage here about appreciation. Now, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. Now, you can imagine. I mean, that was the rule. They couldn't get near anybody else. But, you know, when you're dealing with pain like that, if you just look at the individual pain, I can't relate to leprosy. Anybody here know anybody who's had leprosy? We can't relate to individual pain that way. We don't know the pain that somebody else is in. But, you know, we can relate to the emotions that they might be feeling. The sadness or loneliness. You can imagine these guys, you know, they've been cut off from family and friends, so you can imagine the loneliness that they're experiencing at that point and their need for somebody like Jesus to come along. One of the interesting things, I know I mentioned this Chris Voss, this former FBI guy, but he said, you know, I don't ask people how they are. And I still find myself slipping into this. I've tried to follow his practice there, but he said, you know what I do is I just look at them and try and think about how their day is going. And like he tells about a person who was at the check-in counter at the airport, and he'd had an angry fellow yelling at this lady, and he just went up, looks like you're having a really tough day. And she just relaxed with him. And, you know, these guys needed somebody like Jesus to come along and see them and hear them. And they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And verse 14 goes on. It's a beautiful thing here. He says, when he saw them, Jesus saw them. Like I mentioned before, my favorite psychiatrist, this Kurt Thompson, has said, every girl comes into the world looking for someone looking for them. Every little boy comes into the world looking for someone looking for them. And these guys Jesus saw them. And isn't that cool? Jesus saw them. And Jesus sees each one of you here this morning. Just say that to yourself. Jesus sees me this morning. Say it together. Jesus sees me this morning. Isn't that cool? Jesus sees me. It's like, and he's not just checking up on us to see whether we've been naughty or nice. Think about what an awful thing that is we tell kids. That Santa's looking to see whether we've been naughty or nice. What an awful thing. You know, stop, think about it. Isn't that an awful thing? That's not the way God looks at us. He's looking at us in love, in longing. You know, just there's nothing more precious than having one of your kids or grandkids come running to you and leap into your arms and smiling and seeing you. It's a precious thing. Jesus sees us. God sees us. And Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Isn't that interesting? They weren't healed in Jesus' presence right there, but as they were following what Jesus told them to do, they got healed. Now, interestingly, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Only one came back. Why do you think that might be? Only one came back. Maybe they thought it was a coincidence as they were going to the priest that they got healed. You know, there were people, and I've known people who've seen miracles, and they just called them coincidence. Wasn't that a nice coincidence? I liked what somebody had said. You know, when Christians pray, coincidences happen. God hears us when we cry out, but do we recognize that? Or maybe it's because, you know, I was thinking about it for myself. Why was this such a life-changing thing for me as I grew in my appreciation? I wasn't taught to appreciate. My mom made me write. I remember her making me write a couple thank you notes. But, you know, I didn't understand at that point why that was a good thing. You know, and I was never taught to look at it from the other person's point of view. I just, I got to go. I got to write a thank you note. I hate writing. My writing's awful. Oh, I don't know what to say. You know, so I didn't learn it. So I might have been one of those nine. The other thing is, well, you know, there's some false teaching out there. Oh, you know, you don't need thanks from anybody but God. Again, what an awful thing to say. You know, it may be true that, you know, we can't look for appreciation from other people. I mean, because the corollary of that, well, if I don't need thanksgiving or I don't need appreciation, well, then other people don't need it either, right? They should just look to God for that. Who knows what's going on in the minds of the nine? And maybe, you know, it's just one of those things, well, why am I not more appreciative? Why am I not more full of thanksgiving and praise? Maybe I'm just bah humbug, you know. Maybe, you know, my attitude is just wrong here and God needs to do an attitude readjustment in me. But this one of them came back and cried out in a loud voice. And then thank you, God. You mean he's crying out. You know, you'd almost think he was at a Vikings game, right? We don't feel embarrassed yelling at a game, do we? But for some reason, getting excited about God. I remember hearing one pastor say, you know, the 11th commandment of Norwegians is, thou shalt not get excited about spiritual things too quickly. I don't know if you can relate to that. You know, we're just kind of kind of all in our minds, you know. Oh, I'm thanking God in my mind. I'm excited in my mind. No, we're excited with our bodies, aren't we? In verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Here it's actually literally he fell on his face. He dropped on his face as he worshiped Jesus. And the thing that occurred to me in this is that, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to use our bodies when we're thanking. Whether it's thanking people or thanking God. You know, what? One of the things I remember growing up with is that I don't remember actually getting a hug from my dad until it was at my grandma's funeral. But how much, you know, after that barrier was broken, just how showing appreciation through a hug, how much that means, or a pat on the shoulder, or shaking hands at least, right? I'm so glad to be over thank you. You know, that lack of touch is just really hard on us. We show appreciation through our bodies. And even thinking about our bodies and appreciation, one of the things I found really helpful, actually, as a part of my morning practice, I've got pictures up that I'm really thankful for, but it's just, that's a little reminder for me. It's like one of my favorite memories, I'll just share it with you, is the first summer of COVID, going out to where a kid was going to build a cabin, and we saw these 38 whales out there. Well, as I'm remembering that and being grateful to God for that scene, I think about, oh, the ocean smells. I mean, I can smell the ocean smell, you know, the kind of the fish, and the ocean has a unique smell. And the sound, actually, because we saw these whales breaching, and if you've ever seen that, it just sounds like a cannon going off. And it's a boom, and you can feel it in your chest as these whales are slamming down into the water there. And then I remember the joy as my kid and the grandkid are just laughing at the exuberance of the whales there. And you realize what Job was talking about when he says, and you made the great Leviathan who prances in the sea. And it just kind of builds joy in me as I think about that experience and think about it in as many senses as I can feel in my body there. And what's interesting is this word, he thanks Jesus. The word used there is eucharisteon, and we get our word Eucharist from it, which is one of the names of the Lord's Supper. And God, when he wanted to remind us of his love, he didn't just give a message, oh, just be reminded that I love you. He gave us a physical, tangible way of experiencing his love and eating the bread and drinking the wine. He wanted to touch us physically. I mean, that's even the whole point of Advent in Jesus coming incarnate, in the flesh, in the body. God didn't just send a book. He sent his son Jesus to live and suffer and die for us and be raised again for us so that we could know just how wide and long and deep his love and feel it not just in our minds, but in our bodies. God loves us. And the really cool thing here as the passage ends here, Jesus asked, we're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith, your trust has made you well. Now the Greek word here for well, made you well, actually can also be translated saved you. Your trust has saved you. Or it can be rescued you. I think that it was only this one person who had leprosy who was truly saved, who was completely healed. And it came through his returning to Jesus and finding his relationship with Jesus, kind of restored through his thanksgiving and praise. He was the only one truly saved because he entered into that relationship with Jesus as he came to him in thanksgiving and praise. And let's just come before Jesus, close our eyes and pray. Oh God, you are so good to us. Thank you, God, that we can lift up our hands to you. Just like a little child reaching up to her mom and dad or his mom and dad. Let's just lift up our hands to God and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming in the flesh for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. And thank you, Jesus, for giving us this holy meal that we get to celebrate right now. Prepare our hearts for this miracle of your presence with us. Prepare our hearts for Christmas, but prepare us, Lord, to be more thankful people. Lord, there are so many people that are hungering for joy and love and quiet and peace and appreciation. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet and arms and give the world what we all so desperately need, the physical experience of your love and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.